heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse lepers, cast out demons.
This is Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio.
Welcome to this episode of Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio. I'm Father Bob Sears, and I'm from Jesuit House in Hyde Park, Chicago. And today we are on location in Marytown, the National Shrine of St. Maximilian Kolbe. And on this episode, we're going to be focusing on healing the family tree. So, welcome. As I many times when I do these programs, I always begin with Ephesians, the third chapter, 14, and then to the end. But I'll just say a section of it here. For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. So God is the one in whom every family in heaven and on earth is named. The reason I got into this is that I've done work with the theology of the Holy Spirit as we in person, as the springing from the Father and the Son, as from one person. And when I came back to the United States and started working, I was introduced to family therapists, Murray Bowen, Ivan Bostermanyi-Nagy, who had been developing family therapy because when they saw clients, they realized they were different when they were with their parents than they were individually. If they were with their parents and the parents had some kind of a conflict, the child would act out. And they realized also that when they worked with the parents and they got healed, then the child would often not have needed for anything. That the child was picking up, as it were, the needs of the system and responding with their illness. And so in a sense, we are relational. And God has made us relational just as the Trinity is relational. Children grow from the relationship to their parents. The brain actually develops in relation to one's parents and back through the generations. From working with persons who are with families, certain principles became clear. For example, no one can be excluded in a family. If anybody's forgotten, that person will influence later generations. So if there's an abortion, for example, or if they're scapegoated members, or somebody has war debt and they're forgotten, their symptoms will influence later generations. If a person is hanged, for example, and they're forgotten, and somebody's going to have throat ailments later on, they won't know why. Because nobody can be forgotten. And so all past injustice will be affecting present family members until it's righted. What we believe of Adam and Eve's sin influencing all succeeding generations is being verified in practice. Scripture tells us in various texts that the sins of the fathers are visited on their children to four generations. Luckily, the blessings to 1,000 generations. But what are we to do then? How are we to get healed if sins, especially original sin, is handed on generation after generation and we pick it up with our parents, etc.? How is God going to heal this situation? The prophets who wrote during Israel's exile in Babylon, there was an exile, remember, that Israel didn't obey the Lord, and so Jerusalem was destroyed and they were sent into exile in Babylon. The prophets who wrote at that time, which were basically Jeremiah, 2nd Isaiah, and Ezekiel, pointed out something new, that God is promising to write a new covenant on individuals' heart, so that they won't need to be taught by others. Jeremiah 31:31. The old covenant is given to Moses, but they broke it, and God had to show himself their master. But he's going to give us a new covenant and take away our stony hearts and put his spirit in them and make us keep the law. Ezekiel 36:27 and following. Very important words. Because if we can't do something, we can give God permission to do it in us. Because he said he would put his spirit in our hearts and make us keep the law. The saying about sins of parents being visited on their children will no longer hold, God says, since the children are mine as well as the father's. Only the one who sins will die. Ezekiel 18, 2 and 3. And the whole chapter, of course. So how I came to realize that God had given us a solution to the law of sins being handed down generation after generation was during my depression while studying theology in Germany. I had been trying to get at the root of my depression by studying depth psychology, and later I did my dissertation on the relation of the theology of the Holy Spirit and its relation to depth psychologies. Then another Jesuit referred me to a passage of Isaiah. First of all, I studied depth psychology, but got more depressed. So I became an enlightened neurotic, as I used to say. But then I was referred to this passage from Isaiah, which is in the exilic period. Isaiah 43, 18 and following says, "Remember not the events of the past, the things of long ago consider not. See, I am doing something new. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? In the desert I make a way." And all of a sudden it dawned on me, I was trying to figure out the past, and God is saying he's breaking through with new creation now. The solution wasn't in the past. It's in looking at God's new creation now. And I began to realize that we don't have to believe that God created the universe. We can argue to that. What we do have to believe, and we pray in the creed, that God is creating now. And that he's making new things now. God opened my eyes that the solution to my depression was open to a new creation. God had to bring the solution. It couldn't come from my ancestry or anybody's ancestry. That was confirmed by Ezekiel 34, where God said that Israel's shepherds were shepherding themselves. And his solution was, I myself will shepherd them. I will seek out the lost. I will bind up their wounds. God himself was going to do it, and he sent Jesus to do it. Jesus was the fulfillment of the new covenant. He was giving us a new beginning. What I found when I turned to God's new creation was that I was no longer depressed about being depressed. So there's various things that I can just go through in a limited time. One of them was that when I was prayed for with a group, somebody got burdened. And I said in the womb, I realized I will not be a burden. My mother had two before me and she was burdened. And I realized that as I let that go, then what I had caused by saying I won't be a burden was actually making me a burden. And as I let that go, I was letting God give me those that would help me to heal that mother wound. And then I had later on, after that, I realized that we need to give our permission to God for him to heal us. And when I was in New York and I was my dad had a stroke in Florida, and I was in New York. My director said, "Have you ever chosen your father?" And I said, "Well, I've accepted him." He said, "No, out of all possible fathers, have you ever chosen your father?" And I found that difficult because of early difficulties. But then we prayed, and I asked God to do it in me, and I heard it took. And then I realized later that I could take final vows now as a Jesuit. I'd been postponing it for 7 years. Not because I was going to leave, but because I didn't feel free to do it. And I realized later there's an invisible loyalty. Until we choose our parents, We cannot choose anything else in some ways at a deep level. So if people have a hard time choosing, it's most likely because they haven't chosen their parents. All of these insights helped me to understand those who came for counseling. I'd help them to choose their parents. I learned to pray for ancestors because the people came with problems back through the ancestry. I learned later on, however, that problem with the not choosing my mother was actually a shock. Shock is something so overwhelming that we can't do anything to realize what to do about it. And as I was in that situation, there wasn't anything I could do to respond to the difficulty. God started giving me new insights. And the new insight was that when I woke up one morning, I said, I didn't choose my father and they didn't choose me. They aren't my real conscious parents. And I heard God say, don't call anybody father, you have one father in heaven. Then later I woke up and I said, I came into my own, you came into your own and your own didn't receive you, but I came into my own and my own couldn't receive me. Who did I have? And Jesus said, you had Mary too. And so I began to realize that the true healing is to be born again into the Holy Family. And that the ultimate healing has been given to us on the cross. That Jesus in dying gave us his mother as our mother and his father as our father. So we are, in a sense, open to that new creation. And this is what will finally give us the ultimate healing. And so we have to take a short break now on WSFI 88.5 FM Catholic Radio. And you're listening to Healing the Whole Person. And I'm Father Bob Sears, talking about healing the family tree. We'll be right back to take your questions. So stay tuned. Amen.
Hello, I'm Scott Hahn from Franciscan University of Steubenville in Ohio. Catholic radio is essential for the new evangelization. It reaches people who are not necessarily going to darken the doorways of a local parish, but they'll be driving by, and you can recommend it. You can even turn it on when you got a passenger in the car. Catholic radio deserves your support as well, not only your prayer support, but also your financial aid. So I encourage you all, get involved and spread the word. God bless you.
WSFI is committed to bringing quality Catholic programs to our local community, but we only can do that with your financial help. Please take a moment now to donate online at WSFIradio.org or mail your tax-deductible donation to WSFI Catholic Radio, P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. That's P.O. Box 885, Libertyville, Illinois, 60048. Donations of any amount are greatly appreciated.
Are you retired or near retirement? Do you want to keep a larger amount of your assets in a safe place with guaranteed interest rates to protect yourself from a huge market swing? Are you amazed at how low the interest rates are at your bank? If you said yes to any or all of those questions, you may want to call me, Matt Tomlinson, at Catholic Financial Life to discuss our guaranteed fixed rate annuities. Call 847-548-MATT, 847-548-6288. Products not available in all states.
The Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is blessed with the opportunity to participate with WSFI Catholic Radio in the new evangelization. Holy Family is your local resource for books, CDs, and DVDs from Catholic Answers, Ignatius Press, and all of the other fine publishers featured on Catholic Radio. Holy Family also has the area's largest selection of baptism, communion, and confirmation gifts. Holy Family Catholic Bookstore is located at 9249 Old Green Bay Road, Pleasant Prairie, Wisconsin. More information is available on Facebook.
Welcome back. This is I'm Father Bob Sears, and we're speaking on healing the family tree, and we're going to entertain questions at this time. I realize that there's so much in this area that I had to go from my own experience in order to get some clarity, but you could ask any number of questions.
My question is, if you know that there has been, generational sin, what is the best way to pray for that healing?
What is the best way to pray for generational sin? Well, first of all, we can, as Daniel in the Old Testament, ask for forgiveness for himself and his ancestors. We can, in a sense, ask for forgiveness for our ancestors. I will always pray back into the ancestry and give them unconditional forgiveness, that are conditional forgiveness, that is, if they receive it, because God won't forgive us unless we choose to accept that forgiveness. But once we do, Jesus has forgiven everybody. He said, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing." Well, none of us know what we're doing, so we're all included in that prayer. So I pray for their healing, and I pray to, also I pray for, as interceding for anybody, I pray that God would heal in me what they need, so that that can flow back through the generations, because Jesus is the one that heals it, and he's the one that's present to all past generations.
Thank you, Father. How does one break a generational curse and keep the doors closed for any future attacks?
We break a generational curse by breaking it. I pray to break it usually 3 times and sometimes 7 times, and then pray that for the person who has done it, that they would be healed and forgiven if they would open up to God's healing. And then you have to close the doors. Any curse, of course, comes in both from the other person, but God is allowing everything to happen. So we always have to ask God why he's letting this happen and what are we to do about it. And so then we open up and just pray the blessing where there was a curse. So, Lord, bring a blessing into that area. Now, if the curse is on finances or something like that, then we have to find out what was there. There's a spirit of greed or whatever. And these are invitations to the evil spirit, as Father John was saying with this, pornography. Well, any sin is inviting evil spirits in. And so once you pray for that, then you ask God to give you the freedom of spirit to let go of making an idol of money and using it against other people, etc. Those things often will show up by difficulties with finances, for example, in your present generation, because anything that's unhealed in the past also has to be dealt with.
Father, you said that true healing is to be born into the holy family.
Yes.
Accepting God as our Father and Mary as our Mother.
Yes.
So when we do that, everything is perfect. But then really, the way I understand it, we take all of the frailties of our family, our mother and our father and our siblings and everything, and we try to surround it with prayer and some knowledge and forgiveness. Is that correct?
Yes. I didn't have time to say one of the things that I was going to say, that when I was asked to choose my father, I did say that. I was woke up later and said, now I can choose my to take final vows as a Jesuit. Because before, I had an invisible loyalty to my father. As long as I hadn't chosen him, I wouldn't be open to letting another group be my father. It would be like replacing my father. And children have an ontological, if you want, just by the very fact that they exist, gratitude to their parents. So you might be rejecting your parents, but you won't get healed until, first of all, you get born into the Holy Family, and then you choose your parents because God chose them for you. And that releases you from that invisible loyalty. So you won't be able to choose the Heavenly Father as your father until you've chosen your biological father. That's because your unconscious is going to block it. And you won't be able to choose Mary as your mother until you've chosen your biological mother. But you're choosing them not as the foundation, but as the ones God sent you into. And you are who you are because of that biological strain going back through the generations. So once you choose to be united with the Holy Family of Jesus, then you become an intercessor, just as Jesus is, for your whole generational system.
Thank you, Father. I was wondering if, you know, I know I can pray for, you know, my family and my ancestors, but as a mother-in-law and as a grandmother, is it okay if I do that for the other generations that affect our family?
Yes, I would think so. It's okay for you to intercede as much as you want. That's wonderful. But will it take? What I suggest for intercession is that we don't focus so much on the other person, because we can't change them, but that you give God permission to do in you what the other person needs. Because God wants the kingdom to start with us first, and he often gives us people to pray for things that we need to be healed about. So ask God to heal you in areas this person needs, and then Jesus can work through them in subtle ways. For example, if you're trying to heal your children, you can't change your children, and any pressure you put on them will probably have negative effect. But you can change yourself, and if they're living attitudes that they've found in the family system, if you let God change you, then it will subtly change the atmosphere. They're connected to you unconsciously, and they can't avoid that, and it will be affecting them. So that's the best way, I think, to intercede.
I've had this question for a long time. If God says to not call anyone father, because he is our father, then why do people call the priests father?
Well, they're spiritual representatives of the Heavenly Father.
But then isn't that kind of during what God is saying?
Well, I hope you don't absolutize the priest. But I hope you are seeing in the priest the fathering of God coming through, because priests don't have anything that isn't given to them. They are, as it were, the presence of Jesus when they celebrate the Mass. When they give absolution, it's Jesus giving absolution. So when you call them Father, it's just recognizing that God is their Father working through them. They did that rather early, and they called like their spiritual fathers in the desert, because they were like spiritual fathers. They didn't know a lot of things, and they went to them to get fathering. So it is a kind of fathering, but in order not to absolutize the Father, because even your earthly father is God-given, and you have to see God in all your, you know, first thing is God, the Father.
Yeah.
This is really basic. How do you know if you have something in your family tree that needs healing?
Do you have something in yourself that needs healing?
Oh, yeah.
Well, then I most likely, when I see somebody coming, I always draw their genogram, because your individual issue is not just your issue. You've learned it someplace. And why did your mother have, you know, like, why did my mother not be able to mother me? Because she didn't have a good relation to her mother. And back through the generations. So I have to pray for her as I've let Mary be my mother. I let Mary be my mother's mother too.
Okay, so the things I see in myself are most likely from the past.
Most likely. If you draw a genogram, on my website, Joan did mention it, that I have a website called www.familytreehealing.com. I have articles there, some books, there's also some other resources, and it would be, one of the resources is how to diagram your family, so you could find that on the website, www.familytreehealing.com.
And as an adjunct to the last question, how can I, my for instance, if my daughter-in-law, for instance, comes from a family of alcoholic issues,
yes.
How can I heal myself to affect her? Because there's no generational aspect there. I got the impression that, you know, when she was saying as a mother-in-law, is there a way of changing me that will affect her?
Okay, because you bring up an issue that's really very deep. For one of the things that the family is the image of the Trinity. So the father and the mother have to be loving each other if the child is going to be freely loved. Otherwise, the parents will hook in one of the children to be partner because they aren't getting the love that they should get with two parents. And when you have that situation, then you pray for the parents and you pray that the person would be grounded in the Holy Family so they will get the mothering and the fathering of two parents who are totally one and give that love. And once you do that, then the addiction itself has to do with, you know, I have an article in my website on interrupted love, the healing of addiction through the hearts of Jesus and Mary. Addiction is really an escape from facing primal pain. The ultimate problem with the addiction is that we don't get the love that we need and we're filling it in with eating or relationships or pornography or whatever, and those are all addictive because they're making idols of something finite, and they'll simply kill you in the long run because you have to be increased over and over again. What's the solution? Get the love you need. That is, let Jesus love you. And if it's pornography or whatever, you know, masturbation, for example, I would suggest people to not do it, but make it a prayer. What is your body looking for? And ask God to give you the love that you're looking for. Because addictions are not healed by control. They're healed by love. By getting what we're looking for. Everybody is looking for love. And that's what got broken with the original sin.
Hi, Father. You used the word biological when you were talking about accepting parents. What about in cases of adoption? Perhaps the children never knew their biological parents?
You have two parents, yes. In that case, you have to accept both your biological parents or you won't be able to bond to your adopting parent. Because that's, again, the invisible loyalty. We have an invisible loyalty to our biological parents because they were given to us. We wouldn't live if, as I say in retreats, you wouldn't be here to have your problem if it weren't for your parents. So we need to, in a sense, choose them and then see the adopting parents are helping your biological parents. They're doing what your biological parents couldn't do, so they're together. So you don't have a split loyalty because that will also block your healing. That's true for any relationship, for example. You have to accept the previous relationship, whether it's a divorce or whatever, in order to really enter into the second one. So thank you very much. And this is all the time that we have today for Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio. Until next time, from all of us here at WSFI, thank you for listening and God bless. Amen.
You have been listening to Healing the Whole Person on WSFI 88.5 FM, Catholic Radio. For more information about this program or to purchase CD copies, please visit us online at wsfiradio.org or call 224-206-8455.
Your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease.